This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to a brand new edition of the What the Puck podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And of course, joining me via Skype, we've got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm not doing too bad. I'm just trying to weather down this insane snowstorm we're getting. How are you doing?
You know what? I'm okay. I just need a rain slicker for this storm. Apparently, they cancel businesses and schools for rainstorms now. Follow Coach Dan on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And you can actually follow the show itself on Twitter at WTP underscore podcast. Coach Dan, two big games that we've missed since the last time we've talked. We've got the Winnipeg Jets and the Boston Bruins. Two wins for the Capitals. This team has been very inconsistent the last ever since the season started. But even though it's two wins against the Jets and the Bruins, it was weird, at least for me, to see in the Boston Bruins game, these guys came out slow, and it looked like they were going to do their same old thing, where they were going to be slow, stay slow, and kind of leave the goalie out to dry. And that didn't happen in these last two games. We've had two really solid games between the Capitals, with maybe a 20-minute stretch in the first period of the Bruins game where they looked kind of sloppy. How have you seen this team progress in this week, I guess?
Well, in regards to the game against Winnipeg, I thought they played very well. I don't know if I could say they played a full 60 minutes, but they certainly played well enough to get the win and another shutout for Braden Holtby. It's actually his third shutout in his last 10 games, which is pretty impressive for him. So I like the Winnipeg game. Boston game, I was pretty disappointed. I thought the first period was pathetic. It certainly looked like it was the beginning of the season again. And if this was a couple of weeks ago, they would not have won that game. But they battled back. They found a way to get back in the game. And they ended up getting a good win. And I thought it was a fantastic goal from Eric Fehr. And I think if Wojtek Volski is going to score against you, you don't deserve to win right now, because that dude, he could not seem to find the back of the net. But he did last night, and they came out with a good 40 minutes and a good overtime against a very tough, very good team in the Boston Bruins. And I certainly think that these are wins that this team needs to give them the confidence going forward.
Absolutely. But, I mean, we're talking about Volski and Fehr here. Those goals against the Bruins, both of those goals looked pretty amazing. I mean, really, the Fehr's goal was like a goal of the year caliber goal. Volski's goal looked like it was something you'd see, like they actually paid attention in practice and applied it on the ice, because it was these swift passes and then a backhand from Volski. I mean, these guys seem to be gelling really well together. And from what I'm hearing, at least in the Boston game, when they were down 3-0 after the first, we actually had some guys in the locker room speak up and say, we're not going to lose this next period. And that was Ovechkin and Volpatti. So it seems like at least a new guy here is voicing up, and the Capitals are listening. But it seems like the Capitals finally are gelling, like we've been talking about. But it seems like they finally have that drive to prove some people wrong, because it seems like every game right now is a game for the playoffs, because they had such a slow start.
Yeah, I think with the way, like you just said, with the way they started, that they have to continue to fight, and they have to play it like it's a playoff game the rest of the way if they really want to get back in it. But with that said, they're actually not in a bad spot. At the moment, they're 9-11-1, which is good for 19 points, which, you know, isn't great, but it currently has them tied with Florida for fourth in the Southeast. They're currently 8 points behind division-leading Carolina, but they're only 2 points behind the second-place tie in Winnipeg and Tampa Bay. Now, however, they have played two less games in Winnipeg and one less than Tampa, so they are right in this thing. And in regards to the playoff race, they're only 5 points behind eighth-place New York Rangers. So they're certainly in it if they continue to play well and if they build upon what they did in Winnipeg and what they were able to do against Boston. They certainly have a shot at making the playoffs and making things interesting. I still think there are some roster problems that need to be figured out. We'll see how that goes when guys come back from being off of injured reserve, in regards to Brooks Like whenever he becomes healthy, and Marcus Johansson, who recently passed his neuropsych test, so it sounds like he had a concussion, even though the team wouldn't admit it. He's missed the last 10 games. If he can get back into the lineup and actually play well, it will certainly make things look a lot better for this team.
Well, here's the thing. You're talking about roster spots and everything. Volski, who had a great game against Boston, technically wasn't really supposed to be playing in that game. The only reason he was in the game is because Troy Brower came down with the flu, and Troy Brower didn't practice. He wasn't at the arena. He was sick on his couch all day, and Volsky got a chance to get that goal and to actually be on the ice. So my question to you is, what do you think is going to happen next in this with this team, at least for that spot? Is Oates going to go for Volsky, who had a good game, or is he going to stick with somebody like Brower, who, even though he was only sick, I mean, it wasn't an injury, it was just an illness, and for all intents and purposes, he's going to play in the Florida Panthers game coming up. But do you keep Volsky in and sit somebody else out, or do you just give this guy one game and sit him back down?
If I'm the head coach, I'm putting Jason Chimera up in the press box. I don't think he's done enough to continue to earn a spot. I think Volsky played pretty well against Boston. I think he, with that timely goal, that he's earned another spot, another chance to stay in the lineup. And I think Brower comes back in if he's healthy, literally, and ready to go. I think Chimera sits on the bench, up in the press box for the next game, just sort of maybe light a fire under him and see if he can certainly play a little bit better.
Something else we got to bring up here real quick, kind of crazy news, but it's something that I've been kind of looking forward to. But Roman Hamrlich was placed on waivers by the Capitals earlier this week. He's only played, four games this season, and most of the time he's been in the press box. So they put him out on waivers and actually got picked up by the New York Rangers. So we may be seeing Roman Hamrlich pretty soon, because the Capitals have the Rangers to look forward to next week. But what are your thoughts on Roman Hamrlich being let go?
Well, I just saw it was tweeted out by Chuck Gormley. He put it out on Twitter that Tomas Kondratic, who actually got his first NHL goal last night, so congrats to him real quick, he has given Hamrlich a lot of credit on being a big influence on the beginning of his career. So I think while Hamrlich wasn't playing, it looks like he certainly has been doing things behind the scenes that have helped the guys out, because I think Kondratic has looked very well. And with Green being out, he was actually recently placed on the IR after he re-aggravated his groin injury. With him being out, and with Orlov not being with the team, it looks, you know, Oates has trusted Kondratic, who's been playing with Alzner, to get more and more minutes. I think, you know, he's had a couple rookie mistakes here and there, but he certainly looks good going forward, and we'll see how he does. But, it's good for Hamrlich. He gets to play. It's kind of a bummer that he went to the Rangers, because then we'll have to see him again. But we'll see how they do. It certainly looks like the Rangers are going to need some defensemen going forward after what happened with Mark Stahl last night. But we can talk about that when we get to NHL news.
Yeah, I'll just say we'll save it then. But oh, what a nasty, nasty looking hit. We'll talk about that later. But oh my God, that was just painful to watch. We do have a new Capital to talk about though. He went down 83, I guess, from Hershey, and we got a Steve Oleski, who was a Hershey Bear, and he came out against the Boston Bruins and earned his first point in his first NHL game.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Congrats to him. I think he's actually doing pretty well. The Caps signed him to a one-year deal. In 55 games with Hershey, he had 2 goals and 14 assists, as well as 151 penalty minutes. He is a guy who is known for his hitting, although both I believe George McPhee and Coach Adam Oates have said they did not bring him down because of that. They brought him down because he can move the puck and help out offensively. So we'll see how that goes. I don't anticipate him being on the team if and ever Green is healthy and if Orlov comes back. But it certainly he played pretty well. He held his own. But then again, he still was his first game. He's a 27-year-old rookie, so I don't think this guy is the second coming of Bobby Orr or anything like that. You know, he's a guy that'll fill in. They can bring him up and down as need be if guys get hurt. But I think he played pretty well last night, held his own in Boston, had a night against Boston. He had a nice hit. I'm blanking on who it was against last night, I believe in the first period. And he did pretty well, kept the puck in, was able to control it. There's a couple little errors in there, probably nerves in the beginning of the game, but he did pretty well.
Yeah, I was happy to see him. I thought he did really well. And I think as long as Green's out, and we know Green is a guy who is constantly being nagged by injuries, we'll see how long he stays with the Capitals or goes back down to Hershey. But it raises the question right now that they brought him in and they brought in Volpatty last week, and these guys are two known tough guys. Is this, being a fighter a part of Adam Oates' system? I mean, we've seen what John Erskine, he's gotten more ice time than he did with Dale Hunter. So is Oates looking for these tough guys that are willing to drop the mitts?
I don't know if I'll go so far as to say he's looking for tough guys who are willing to fight. I think that they don't want their guys fighting as much or getting injured because of it. I mean, Oates has come out and said that he doesn't want Erskine or Hendricks fighting as much as they may do in the end. I don't think it's a big part of his system, I think, but he wants tough guys. He wants defensive-minded guys like Volpatti who are going to hold their own and who are going to finish their checks and are going to hit you if they have the opportunity. But fighting, I don't think, is necessarily the main reason they've brought these guys in.
Yeah, you see guys, Erskine, who just signed another two-year deal with the Capitals, so they know you know that they want him around for a little bit longer, but he's getting up there, so maybe they don't want a guy like him to be really fighting because he is one of the older guys. You get these younger guys. Like you've often said, and you're completely right, that Erskine is not the fastest skater. So now we have these tough younger guys who can skate fast but also kind of hold their own.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you want to see going forward. That's why I didn't like the Erskine deal. I like having Erskine on the team, but I don't like his deal. But that's regardless of the point that, or what we're talking about. I like the pick of Volpatti. I really like that I heard that he stood up and during the first intermission and was telling the guys, look, we go out, we win the second, we're back in this game. This guy's been on the team for what, a week? Not even? And he's already coming out and standing up in the locker room talking. I think that's the exact kind of guy you need. You need these leaders. You need these guys who are going to step up and tell the rest of the guys to man up, play the game, and they'll be fine. I think this pickup, at least of him, and it looks like the new guy, they're doing good so far.
Yeah, it seems like the pieces are really starting to fall in for this team, and hopefully they'll stay on the winning streak. Let's real quick talk about that Eric Fair goal, man. I was not expecting a goal like that from Eric Fair, and I don't know if you heard it, but after the game during his interview, he said that he kind of blacked out, doesn't really remember scoring the goal. So I got to say, got to give it up to Eric Fair. What a play by that guy.
That was a fantastic goal. It looked like an NHL 13 goal. Like it's one of those things where you could do that with a controller, but not in real life. But I think it's just kind of the guy Fair is. If you remember that game during, I believe it was Snowmageddon, when the Caps were down something like 4-1, and maybe it was towards the end of the second that Fair came and just crashed the net, hit the puck towards it, bounced off the goal, flurry. He hit it again and ended up going into the net. He's one of those guys that, when in the minors and in the WHL, he was a big goal scoring kind of guy. And that didn't quite translate over into his NHL career. And that's one of the reasons the Caps traded him to Winnipeg last year. And that's one of the reasons they brought him back is because they know him. I like Fair. I like that he's doing this. If he can continue on the pace that he's going, I'd like to see him, potentially get a shot on the first line left wing spot or put him up on the second line and leave him there. I think he's doing very well. I thought that goal was fantastic and perfect for a guy like him, who's a hardworking guy who will crash the net as long as he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing with Fair and his career is his inability to stay healthy. If he can do that, I think he was a great pickup for this team. And I wouldn't be surprised to see George McPhee sign him to an extension before the season is over.
Yeah, I'm happy that he's back in D.C. playing for the Capitals. But again, like you said, he's got to stay healthy. That was his biggest thing. It hurt him when he was with the Capitals. It hurt him when he was with the Jets. So if he can stay healthy, he'll definitely be one of the best tools that this team has. But he brought up crashing the net. We got to talk about this, too, during the Boston game. It seemed like Ovechkin kind of got confused. He didn't know whether the puck should go in the net or if he should go in the net. So he crashed that net about three times. So Ovechkin was playing with a little chip on his shoulder, and I got to say, I liked it.
Well, I think throughout his career, we've always seen him get up for these games against big teams or if there's sort of like a story behind the game. And that isn't to say that he doesn't play hard in games against sort of like the random NHL teams they don't see very often. That's not what I mean. What I mean to say is you do see that where he gets sort of like this extra gear going against these teams. Now, I think it was three times he knocked the net off of its moorings. I don't think each one was necessarily just him going into it. I know with in regards to the third time, was it during the third period, that he knocked the net. He was actually shoved by defenseman Johnny Boychuk. I think right now Boychuk owes Tuukka Rask a dinner or a beer or something because that was his fault that Ovechkin crashed it. Ovechkin was trying to cut across in front of the goalie to score the goal and ended up getting knocked straight into Tuukka Rask. So, but, I like the energy. I like that he's crashing the net. Ovechkin is essentially a very talented power forward where he will – if he wasn't as talented as he is, he would be the kind of guy you just put him in front of the net and have him knock in the garbage goals. But he can do more than just that. But it's nice to see we're seeing sort of that Alex of old where he's not willing to go through you if he has to get towards the goal.
absolutely. So these guys, they do have a big road trip coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But the last two games, the Capitals have looked good. They've been sluggish at some points. But, man, some of these goals and some of the fight that these guys have shown in the last two games make me not so worried like I was at the beginning of this season about what was coming up. All right, the Caps have a big road trip. But Dan and I don't know. I don't know what you're doing this weekend. But how about we go up 83? We talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man, so what's been going on with the Hershey Bears? The Capitals have kind of sniped off a few Hershey Bears to bring them down to D.C. What else have they got going on up there?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over the Baby Pens, Norfolk, and Syracuse. This puts them at 28-21-8, which is good for 64 points, bumping them up to third in the East Division, 1 point ahead of the Baby Pens, who we know are the minor league affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. This also actually bumps them up into sixth in the Eastern Conference. So they are certainly right in the playoff race. They've been doing very well as of late, even with the loss of a couple of players being bumped up between Reading and down to Reading and up to Washington. In regards to Reading, they have went 1-1 since we last talked with a win and a loss over Orlando. They are 37-17-6, which is good for 80 points, but they actually dropped to second in the Eastern Conference, 2 points behind the Cincinnati Cyclones in one less game played. They're also now 12 points behind the ECHL leading Alaska Aces and 6 points behind the Ontario Reign. If they want to clinch the playoffs, like I know you've been begging for the past 3 weeks, they're going to have to go on a little bit of a winning streak and stop with this sort of 500 record that we've been talking about every week.
Hopefully they can do that. You know, the Reading Royals, they've had kind of a great season. Hopefully they can actually do what they got to do and actually get into the playoffs. But something I want to bring up real quick about Reading, you informed me about this on Friday, but their goalie, you know, the rookie sensation Kostenko, apparently really injured his finger over the weekend, and it seems like he's back in Reading to wherever they shipped him off to. They kind of loaned him out.
Yeah, no, he was recalled to Hershey and loaned out to Ontario, where he actually ended up injuring his pinky in some rather disturbing pictures he decided to put out on Twitter. I've been looking for news on that. I'm following We Bleed Purple right now to see if they are going to give me a little more information regarding what's going on with Kostenko. So hopefully he'll be good to go soon, and we'll see him back on the ice shortly.
Yeah, it seems like he's back in Reading, but he's not going to be playing anytime soon with that broken pinky. So too bad for him. But anyway, I guess that's pretty much it for Hershey Bears and Reading Royals news. Go Bears, go Royals. What else is going on around the NHL?
Well, first, I'd like to congrats Anaheim's Teemu Selanne for moving past Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille and into 11th on the NHL all-time goal-scoring list. The guy's 42 years old and still plays like a rookie. In trade news, Toronto has sent gritty forward Mike Brown to Edmonton for a fourth-round pick. That's pretty much all the trade news. The trade market's been pretty boring. We still have about, a month to go until the trade deadline, so things should start picking up in the next couple of weeks. In suspension news, Buffalo's Patrick Kaleta has been suspended for 5 games after boarding Rangers star Brad Richards. I actually saw this hit just a little while ago. It was dumb. If you see the guy's numbers, you don't hit him. He shoved Richards into the boards right in the numbers. It was a bad play. And I believe he's a repeat offender, which is why he got 5 games. One that's a little bit closer to the Caps, Philadelphia's Harry Kolnarchuk has been suspended for 4 games after charging Ottawa defenseman Mike Lundin. Kolnarchuk is the guy who hit the shoulder and then knee-on-knee on Matthew Perreault at the end of that embarrassing effort against the Flyers last week.
Right.
Kolnarchuk has been, so he's out 4 games. I don't know if you saw this hit. He left his feet and leveled Lundin. It was a dumb play by the Philadelphia player, and he has certainly earned that 4-game suspension. Now, while he has not been suspended, Dallas forward Jamie Benn has been fined $10,000 for cross-checking Edmonton's Ryan Jones. The money in all these suspensions go to the Players' Emergency Assistance Fund. In injury news, we brought this up earlier, but Rangers defenseman Mark Stahl was hit in the eye with a puck Tuesday night. They don't know yet what the damage will be and how long he will be out until the swelling goes down. Did you see this play?
I saw it. Oh, my God. That was just painful to even watch. I can't even imagine how much pain he must be in when it happened. I just – unbelievable. If you looked at the close-up after he got hit, there was definitely blood on the ice. I'm worried for the guy right now because it just looked terrible.
Yeah, I can't tell exactly from the videos and from all the pictures as to whether it hit him directly in the eye or right around it, but it looked really bad. And just to see him sort of like his legs just kicking around on the ice to see how much pain he was in was very scary. There's been a lot of talk since him getting hit that as to whether NHL players should be required to wear visors, that every player should be required to wear a visor. I have to say, after seeing that and just in general, I think it's a good idea if all players wear visors. I know that a lot of people won't like that because it's sort of like, oh, you're a wimp if you wear a visor. Look, this is a dangerous game. People have, you know, lost not only lost their eyes, but they've lost part of their eyesight. They've had their career shortened because of injuries like this. I think it wouldn't be a terrible idea for guys to be wearing visors going forward. In other injury news, Florida's Steven Weiss, his season is over. He will be having wrist surgery, which will likely come out for the next 3 months. Now, the problem here is that he is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent this offseason, so he may have played his last games for the Florida Panthers. He's another guy to keep an eye on in the offseason because while he's coming off wrist surgery, that may lower how much he'll make. I still think he could be an interesting guy to look at in the offseason if the Capitals do not end up keeping Mike Rivera. In goalie injury news, Carolina goalie Cam Ward will be out 6 to 8 weeks after suffering an MCL sprain. He's the third goalie to go down with an injury recently after Florida's Jose Theodor and Tampa Bay's Matthew Guerin. That is all the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Like, just real quick, like you just said about the Florida Panthers, Jose Theodor, I'm hearing that this might actually be, we may have already seen his last game as a Florida Panther as well because his contract's up at the end of the year. And after that injury, don't know if the Florida Panthers will re-sign him or not. So he's another one that was a Panther at one point, but it doesn't look like going forward he will be.
I certainly agree with you that it looks like it is the final season for Jose Theodor in Florida because Florida recently recalled rookie goalie Jakob Markstrom, and they think that he is definitely going to be their guy going forward. Panthers general manager Dave Tallon even came out and said that when asked about whether Markstrom's time has come to be the man in South Florida, he said, "You'd have to say yes. We've got a lot of confidence in the young man, and he's got a lot of confidence in his abilities. He's big and strong. We're hoping to hold off a little bit, but let's go. Let's see if he can do it, and I'm very confident that he can." So it'll be interesting to see going forward how this kid looks. I'm looking forward to seeing him in – well, not in person, but hopefully on TV on Thursday.
Real quick, other goalie news. This is actually kind of funny. Everybody's favorite astronaut – Brizgalov on the Flyers unveiled a new hockey mask, a new goalie mask, and it's got Darth Vader on one side, and then it's got Yoda on the other side, but Yoda's holding a red lightsaber, meaning that he's on the dark side of the Force. Apparently, Lucasfilms got a hold of the Flyers, and they're forcing Brizgalov to change the color of the lightsaber to green. So apparently, you know, George Lucas, I don't know if he's a Flyers fan or if he's just...
Well, he's not anymore, probably.
they don't like the fact that Yoda is being a part of the dark side.
I think that they all... Well, I think if all they have to do is go and watch, watch a game and sort of watch an interview with this guy, and you'll see that Brizgalov is a little off. And his sense of humor is a little off. So if it was a joke on his part to do that, I think Lucasfilm should lighten up because it was a joke. So just chill out.
It's kind of crazy. I found it funny. Who was it? It might have been Quick in L.A. a year or so ago where he had the Hollywood sign on his mask and they forced him to take that off because they said that he didn't have permission to have it. So it's interesting. These guys kind of want to have freedom with their masks, but then, you know, you got all the other crap. You got to think about, you know, licensing and all that good stuff that other people have.
Well, L.A. also thinks that the Kings are apparently moving to Seattle and, you know, they keep mixing the basketball team up in Sacramento with them. So who really knows what L.A. and the people around there are thinking?
Yeah. All right. So is that pretty much it for the show this week?
That's pretty much it.
Well, you know what? If you want to follow along, we got a lot of games coming up for the Capitals. If you want to follow along with me or Coach Dan, you can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, he's at WTP Coach Dan. And you can follow the show. It's at WTP_podcast. But we have four games until we talk again, man. Four games. Thursday, March 7th, we're going to have the Panthers versus the Capitals, 7 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet. Capitals are at home. Saturday, March 9th, we have the Capitals versus the Islanders in New York. It's going to be 1 p.m. start on Comcast Sportsnet. Sunday, back-to-back games. We got New York and New York. It's going to be the Rangers and the Capitals. They're going to come back down to D.C. to face the Rangers. That's a 12:30 start on NBC, so that's a national televised game. And then Tuesday, March 12th, we have the Hurricanes back in D.C. Semin comes back once again, and that start is 7 o'clock, and that will be aired on Comcast Sportsnet. So four big games, two of them against division rivals, and then two New York teams. So big schedule for these guys coming up. Plenty to talk about. And Coach Dan, I know, let us know the address for Facebook if in case people want to like the show or get any information from there.
If you want to follow the show, you can follow the show at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But also, you can go to check out Capitals Outsider. It is a fan-run website dedicated to the Washington Capitals. I wrote my first piece last week about the Caps and about their problems with the left wing on the first two lines. And I have another one I wrote last night about Mike Green that should be coming out very shortly. So you go check it out. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you like the Brando Cash Network, go like them on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/BrandoCash. Make sure you like us there because I just don't want to get ahead of myself, and I kind of like sharing information before I'm supposed to. But next week or the week after, we're going to have some really big news for where we're going to be on the web. So stay tuned on Facebook to learn about all of that. And there's so many different ways for you to listen to the show. Whichever one is most convenient for you, you just keep on doing that, man. But there's so many places you can tune in to listen to What the Puck. First one, the easiest one, you can go to Stitcher. You can download the app on your Android phone, on your Kindle, on your smartphone. Anything with a Wi-Fi connection that's smart and it has a touch screen, you can download the Stitcher app, search What the Puck, and you can listen to us there. It streams automatically straight through your device. You can go over to iTunes. You can click subscribe, and whenever our brand new episode shows up, it will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app. If you have an iPhone, you can listen to us on Podbean. It's whatthepuckcaps.podbean.com. If you're at work and you want to stream it through your computer, that's how you can do it there as well. And if you're a student at Stevenson University, you can listen to us on WSR Wild Stang Radio. So plenty of places to hear us. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. We're having a great time doing it. Go Caps, and we will talk to you guys next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
So, what else is going on in Caps World right now?
That's pretty much it.
That's it. We covered everything.
Everything I have written down.
Wow.
We can cut this whole part out.
Yeah, we're thorough.
We pretty much, yeah, dude, recording during the day, we make a better show.
All right, the Caps have a big road trip, but Dan and I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but how about we go up 83, we talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Oh, that was a nice little segue. That was different.
That was good. I like that. That was good.